some discipling interactions between Paul and Timothy. Perhaps you have been thinking to yourself, you know, what does it mean to be a disciple? How would I be discipled? And today's teaching will give you some insight into the whole discipleship process. You have a disciple who is Paul, and you have his disciple who is Timothy, right? And Jesus commanded it. He said, "Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of men." That means that every one of us should have been discipled, and in return we should be making disciples of others. Amen? And you know, it's a command. When Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world," you know, it's not a if you feel like it. It's not a if you have time. It's not if you agree with it. You know, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples of men." Amen? Now, as a church, we have been doing discipling, you know, over the years, but it has not really been formalized. It has not really been, you know, put out here like it's been put out. No. And, you know, understand this, that as you will see, you know, it's not something that you, it's not bondage. It is not something to, you know, bring somebody into bondage. It is something that you have to, I mean, in a sense, you don't have a choice. But in another sense, you can just walk away. You can walk away. You can choose to go to another church to participate in their discipleship program. Right? It is not something that is binding in terms of from an institutional point of view, but in terms of the Bible, you know, Jesus wants everyone to be discipled, and then those disciples in turn to disciple others. Amen? It's a command. And you know, one of the criticisms that I have of modern day Western Christianity is that, you know, people are made to think, to believe that, you know, they serve a God who they can just serve God any way they want to serve God, because God is gracious and God is merciful. And that's not so. God is a gracious God. God is a merciful God. But God is also a God of judgment. And it's very important that we follow God's ways. We follow His word. Very important. Amen? But God don't force any of us. That's the wonderful thing about God. He doesn't force us. But in the end, He will hold us accountable. In the end, He will judge us. But He's not going to force you. He's going to give you a choice. And you make your choice. And based on your choice, He will deal with you according to your choice. Amen? So, praise God. Amen. So, let us pray. Father God, we bless you. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you. We continue to thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you for these wonderful congregants that are seated before me, O God. Lord, I pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our lives as you have ordained in heaven. Lord, we just pray that you will give unto each of us as we study, continue to study discipleship in your word. We pray that you'll give unto each of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we might know more and more what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power that is available to us who believe. Lord, we just bless you and we praise you. We worship you. In the name of Jesus, I bind every hindrance to Bible study now, to listening to this sermon. I break every power of error, faith principles that are erroneous in us. I break them now in the name of Jesus. And I command every such spirit to loose us now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, but before I begin, the week before last Thursday, I was praying in the morning, my devotions, and the word hostility came to my mind. And I said, hostility? I mean, I couldn't think of any hostility. I didn't know what it was related to, but I made a note. I prayed a little prayer, what I believe might be it, but it wasn't it. But interestingly, at about 1 p.m. that day, a police officer called me from the Grandspan police station. And he said, Reverend Muirhead, I'm not going to tell you the full story, but he said, Reverend Muirhead, there is a potential hostility in the community. And I would like you to organize for some prayer warriors to accompany the police to that area of the community to pray, because we're going to have a community meeting. Well, it was yesterday, but he wanted us to go in there and pray before the community meeting to discuss the, you know, those factors that are, you know, causing the potential hostility. And when I heard it, I said, praise the Lord. And may I say something? I felt so excited. Amen? Because God, remember I told you that one of the things about a disciple is that God reveals secret things to disciples. Amen? And do you know I'm a disciple too? Yes, I'm a disciple. I'm still learning. I am discipling people, but I'm a disciple because I am a learner. Amen? And so I felt so excited. I mean, you know, that makes me click. That makes me energize for God. You know, those are the things that excite me. When God, by His Spirit, reveals things and then God confirms it. Amen? That is Acts of the Apostle happening all over again. Amen? And so, it's so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Alright, so, we're looking at some discipling interactions between Paul and Timothy. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're just going to look at some of the interactions, which will give you a better idea of the whole process of discipleship. In 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he refers to him as his son. So he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Right? So, what we see here is that as a discipler, first of all, Paul is encouraging Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Right now, grace is, one meaning of grace is undeserved favor, but grace is also the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right? So basically what he's saying here is that we must be strong according to the measure of the Holy Spirit that is working inside of us. In other words, the Holy Spirit will strengthen us, because during the life of a disciple, as it is in the life of every Christian, you know, there are times when we are weak, there are times when we are strong, there are times when we are discouraged, there are times, and at those times, we need to be encouraged. So a disciple, you know, discerns over the life of the disciple, and by God's grace, recognizes that there are times when that disciple needs encouragement. Amen? Praise God. Now, anybody here ever had anybody, you know, out of the blue just call you or come up to you and just give you a word of encouragement? Anybody? Just look for behind now. Amen? So, you know, that is part of the process, to encourage one another. And then he said, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. In other words, the things that he has taught, the things that he has preached. I want you to listen to this. The things that he said to Timothy, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, he said, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, you notice the assumption there? The assumption is that Timothy was paying careful attention to what was being preached and what was being taught. Amen? It also assumes that he remembers every sermon that Paul preached. He had the information. Now, it doesn't say that he was making notes. In those days, they didn't have tape recorders. Right? But it didn't say whether he was making notes. But the assumption was that all that he was taught, all that he heard when Paul preached, the assumption was that he remembered it and he understood it and he was now able to commit it to others. I wonder how many of us are at that place. You know, it's very important. Very important. You know, every message, I'm not saying every word that I say is 100% thus saith the Lord. But every message that is preached from this pulpit, you know, the persons who preach seek God. Amen? Seek God. In other words, it's a message from the Lord. And so it's important. That message is to give direction, is to give encouragement, is to build up our faith, to help us to mature in Christ as believers. It's not just a message to, you know, you just listen and you just, and that's it. Right? So, but think about that. Let's read it again. He said, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Praise God. Now listen, one of the things you don't know this, you know, but one of the things is that I do and those who preach, you know, is that after we finish preaching, sometimes we look at our colleagues and we say, how was it? You comfortable with everything that was said? Right? Because what? We have checks and balances. Amen? We don't just run up our mouths up. Amen? And if there's something that is said that we're not comfortable with, we will interject. Not necessarily during the service, but we will, you know, we will go to the person. Because guess what? That is part of discipling. Amen? Praise God. I think I shared, I don't know if I share it a lot when I got to share about church and, you know, preach other places. But, you know, I was discipled by my pastor when I was born again. And there came a time when I used to preach more than him. And I used to say, well, Pastor, why are you making me preach so much? Well, seriously, I used to preach more than him. He made me preach more than him. And I remember one Sunday morning, I went up and I preached, man, and I thought that I did well, man. And after the service, he said, Brother Ian, come here. And I said, yes, Pastor. And he said to me, you miss God. I mean, I felt like somebody take a baseball bat and lick me mad, you know. He said, you miss God. I said, what? So you know what I do? I never argued him. I never quarreled him. I run, go home and jump on my knee and say, God, how could that happen? Right? But I saw it as a call for me to get closer to God. And that's what it did. It drove me to get closer to God. I never get offended. How him talk? I went closer to God. Amen? So praise God. Hallelujah. Another time I remember some people invited me to a camp in the country. And they asked me to share on something. And I share on something else. Now remember, them invite me to speak, you know. And they are telling me what to say. And I go and share on something else. And afterwards the leaders call me and say, no man, it's not so it going on. You're supposed to share on what? We ask you to share on this subject. Why didn't you share on it? You understand? Well, that was another lick in the head. But I had to learn. Amen? I had to learn obedience. I had to learn submission. Praise God. Amen? And I'm just being transparent. Amen? To let you know that, you know, you don't just bam and just get big, so. You know, my current only grandson, I mean, I look at him each day, you know, just drinking the feeding. Every minute him bawl him more and more feeding. And you know, him won't sit up. I don't know if him reach the age to sit up yet, but I'm getting impatient. I want to see him sit up. I wouldn't mind if him could just get up now and start kick two ball with me. Right? But it's a process. Amen? It's a process. Every one of us in our spiritual growth, it is a process. Amen? And it takes humility. Takes humility to be discipled. If somebody is proud, they're not going to want to be discipled. They're going to say, oh, me? I don't want nobody to talk to me. But it takes humility. Amen? Praise God. So he said, commit these to faithful men. So, them say, you mustn't throw, where it go? Don't throw pearls in pigs' sty. Huh? Don't cast before swines. Okay, don't cast your pearls before swines. Amen? Swine. Before swine. Alright, praise God. Amen. So, that's what that is saying, you know. Commit these to faithful men. Amen? In other words, sit down and teach people who are serious about God. People who are committed to God. People that you can rely on. I mean, that's serious, you know. Amen? Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. So listen. I am here pouring out myself each week on others. Amen? The idea is to teach you so that you in turn can go and teach others. God forbid that we would want a church in which we know everything, we do everything. That would be not God. That would not be God's church. That's not God's idea of church. Amen? But there has to be accountability. Amen? There has to be accountability. Praise God. And you know why accountability is important? Because people can spring up and teach error and send you to hell. Right? That's why accountability is important. Right? People can spring up and teach you erroneously and send you to hell. Praise God. No, I don't know what happened, but my slides kind of went out of sequence. So I'm just going to work with what comes up. Amen? But this one here, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Further down the road, there's a slide that's going to come up with two examples of persons in Acts of the Apostles that were unfaithful. Alright, so when it comes up, if it doesn't come up now, I will, I'll deal with it another time. Okay, now listen. So these are the interactions, remember, between Paul and Timothy. Amen? So he says to Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying to Timothy is, Timothy, you need to understand that although you're a Christian, although you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, although you have the power to bind and to loose and to rebuke devils, he says, there are times when you are going to experience hardship as a Christian. Wow. Now, some people don't preach this part of the Bible, you know. I'm not sure this part. But is there anybody in here who has never experienced hardship? I don't think there is anybody. Amen? He's saying, as a Christian, you're going to experience hardship, and when the hardship comes, you must endure it. You must stand firm in Jesus Christ in it. Don't let the hardship rock you and knock you down and let you backslide. Because hardship is a part of the Christian walk. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't know if anybody have any other gospel, but this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying every good soldier of Jesus Christ is going to have hardship at times. I mean, let's be frank. Every one of us would like a life in which there is no hardship and everything just cool. Not true. Amen. Nobody not say, but no one hardship. No. We would like to just have it smooth and nicely. Right? But so he says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, a good soldier will face the hardship and endure it and not allow the hardship to put him or her down, while a bad soldier will desert. Desert the army. Amen? As some have. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 1:3. Timothy's faith and heritage. He said, remember now, Paul is like the father and Timothy is his spiritual son. So he says to him, he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. So part of discipleship is that the discipler must pray for the disciple. How often? Night and day. Oh boy. Give me a break. But isn't that nice? I mean, I think that's great to know that there's somebody that is praying for you night and day. I don't think it means literally 24 hours. 24 hours a day. But it means that he always remembers him and pray for him. Amen? Hallelujah. So we need to pray for one another. As I shared in a Bible study, you know, we will see people struggling in the Lord. and instead of praying for them, we criticize them. Watch him now. But I'm a Christian. No. We need to pray for them. Amen. Hold them up before God. Praise God. If you say, Pastor, have an era of imperfection, which I'm sure I do, many, you can choose to criticize me. Let me say, I'm a pastor. And watch that. Hear him. Praise the Lord. But, you know, you can pray for me. Amen. You can pray for me. And pray for those who are in leadership. You saw that pastor last week, 20 years. Sentenced to 20 years in prison for having sex with a 14-year-old girl. We need to pray for our leaders. Amen. I mean, it's sad. Really sad. Really sad. Praise God. But you know, we have to pray for one another. We have to pray for one another. Amen. And I pray that, you know, that will never happen in Upper Room Community Church until Jesus comes. I pray that. Amen. Praise God. But it's really sad. Really sad. And, you know, it's something that the body of Christ needs to deal with. It's something that's going on long time, you know. Long time. But the Bible says that judgment must first begin in the house of the Lord. I remember as a young Christian, I went to a church camp. And, you know, a pastor was sleeping on a bunk bed. And it's a leader's camp. But I was a leader from I just born again. Them sent me a leader. Right? And so I on the lower bunk and a pastor on the higher bunk. And when I am sleeping, I had a dream. The pastor married, and I had a dream that he was involved in adultery. So the next morning I called my pastor and I say, Pastor, I dreamt that. My pastor said, I will deal with it. You understand? I never asked him anything after that. He just said, I will deal with it. Amen? But by God's grace, we have to be people of integrity. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We have to be people of integrity. So he says, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. We have to pray for each other. If we are discipling someone, we have to pray for the disciple, and the disciple needs to pray for the discipler. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, some people might as well just kind of flush out this a little cleaner. Some people say, well, woman, me know say all pastor are hypocrite. All of them are do that. Well, this one not doing it. This one has never done it, and this one not doing it. Amen. And you can get private eye. You can bring lie detector. Whatever you want to come with, come. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, you have a lot of honest pastors who are people of integrity out there. But you do have you have some bad sheep out there. Bad shepherd. Right? But it's not everybody. And it's like every era of life. Police, lawyer, doctor, Indian chief. You know, corruption is all around. But each of us need to just walk in integrity. Amen? And you know, have compassion. I mean, I felt sorry for it when I saw the man picture on television. I felt sorry for him. 20 years is a long time, you know. A long time. And the mother said, should I get longer? But praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So And then he says, when I call, he said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Wow. So as a father, he was saying to his spiritual son, there's a genuine faith that is in you. He was encouraging him. Amen? The genuine faith, not no fake faith. Remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lewis and your mother Eunice. Is Eunice? Eunice. And I'm persuaded is in you also. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? That family has been doing well. The grandmother taught about Jesus. The mother taught about Jesus. And now the son has a genuine faith. Glory to God. Amen. And that's God. That's what God wants for every family. Not easy. And some families not able to achieve it. And I'm not going to judge why. I'm not going to judge why. But I thank God. I thank God that it is achievable. Amen? Hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my family. Thank God for my wife. I thank God for my children. I thank God that they have been people of faith and commitment. I thank God for that. And it is the grace of God. If you ask me, Pastor Murad, what is the formula? I don't have a formula. All I can say is praise God. Just keep close to God. That's all I can say. Read the Bible, pray every day, trust God. You need to say what you must say and do what you must do, and you leave the rest to God. Amen? But let the Bible be your guide. Let the Bible be your guide. I never had any guide, you know, because my father, you know, thank God for him, but he was an alcoholic. Amen? And my home was not a peaceful home. But so I didn't have any father figure to show me how to father. But I looked at the Bible, and I applied the Bible, and it worked. Amen? And I get teaching. I go to church every day. I never miss church. I don't miss church. And a lot of teaching come in church. And it helped me to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, next slide. It says, wow, look at this again. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Amen. So, he saw that, he knew that Timothy had gifts. He had the gift of God in him. And he recognized that he was not using those gifts. Those gifts were not operating. And so, as a disciple, he recognized it. He identified it. And he said, Timothy, you need to stir up that gift, man. Amen? So that's another thing about discipleship, that it helps us to keep in step with God. Amen? If there's somebody who will look and say, hey, you need to stir up that gift. Or, as I say to people sometimes, what is your gift? You see somebody coming to church and there is no gift operating in them. Part of my responsibility is to say, what is your gift? What is your gift? But let me be quick to say that, you know, some people, if you ask them that, them say, what you want to offer? Seriously, what you want to offer? It's like, say, that is none of your business. Well, in that case, I just say, praise the Lord. And I just back away. Okay? But, you know, we need to help each other to stir up the gift of God inside of us. Amen? And then he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So what? Why was it that Timothy was not practicing his gift? Because he was fearful. He was fearful. Amen? It's like me sometimes, you know, God, well, I'm getting more courage now. But when I just started moving in word of knowledge, I was fearful. Suppose it not go so. Supposing I miss God. When I have to pray for somebody, I'm fearful. Supposing I pray and something do happen. Well, guess what? You know how it really works? I pray and God deliver. I pray and God deliver. I pray and God heal. I am not the healer. Amen? And so he said to Timothy, that fear that you have of moving in the gift that God has given you, it is not of God. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? Hallelujah. So listen, when fear springs up, you have an exam to do, and you feel afraid, that's not God. That's the devil. You need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You have to talk to somebody about a matter and you feel fearful. Rebuke the fear in the name of Jesus. Don't hug it up and say, oh, that's just me. No, that's not you. That's a spirit of fear that is working in you and on you. And you need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, man, I mean, I think this is great. The type of interactions that Paul is having with Timothy in the whole discipleship program. Amen? If you notice, so far, he has not said, Timothy, listen to me. If you don't do this, I'll buck you. He never said that. Amen? It's just a father-son relationship. Amen? Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. By now, Jordan must be saying, that's why Pastor always asked me, where have I reached in my Bible reading? We'll ask you again after service. Praise God. Amen. But you see why I ask you? I want you to grow. Amen. You're long, but spiritually you're kind of short. Praise the Lord. Amen. And don't get offended at that. I want you can grow taller. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay. So Acts 15:38 now. It says, but Paul, examples of unfaithful men. Remember we looked at that slide that spoke about commit the teachings to faithful men. Amen? Praise God. So watch this now. It says there was a problem with a man by the name of one was Mark and one was Demas. And it says, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. That was Mark. No, I want you to look at that. What do you get out of that? What I get out of that is that they were all on a work together. Right? Three of them were working together. They had been assigned by the Holy Spirit to do a work. And then Mark, in the middle of the work, he's decided to depart from them. He said, boy, right now, I'm just going to make a move. Go Pamphylia now. And I can't go on. But my feeling, you know, feel like coming down. Amen? And so, he had not gone with them to the work. And Paul said, listen, I don't want Mark to come with me anymore. Because he deserted the post. And Barnabas, there was a disagreement. Barnabas said, no. Keep him. And Paul said, no. Well, Mark went with Barnabas. And Paul took some other guys and went on his way. And after that, you never heard anything about Barnabas. You only heard about Paul in the scriptures. Amen? Isn't that interesting? Scripture never wrote about Barnabas after that. But guess what? Later on in Acts, in another book, Paul said, send Mark, come. As he is not profitable for my ministry. In other words, Mark had come to his senses finally. He was now willing to work, to be faithful, to be consistent. He said, come. Send him, man. I'm ready for him now. And that is the mark of a godly discipler. Amen? He stood his ground and he said, I don't want you to come with us any longer. But in the spirit, he saw that he had changed later down the road. And he said, send him, man. He's now ready. Amen? Now, some people like Barnabas. Barnabas never agreed. Barnabas said, no, man. Part company. I will take him with me. I don't agree with you. And them gone in a different direction. Right? But it's very important to recognize that in discipleship, there are times when you have to stand your ground. There are times when you have to call wrong, wrong, and right, right. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you had Demas. Not demon, Demas. Says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. Right? So we have an example there where Demas forsook the brethren. Because what? He still loved the world. He still loved the pleasure. He still loved the partying. He still loved the things that the world has to offer. And I thank God for the honesty of scriptures. Scriptures are very honest. Praise God. Amen. Then it says, as a little subtitle here, the man of God and the word of God. Praise God. So he says, but you have, still talking to Timothy now. He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. Now, we're getting into some heavy stuff now. Paul is talking to Timothy. And he said, for you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions. And persecutions speak of hostility and ill-treatment. Hostility and ill-treatment. Right? He has not only observed it, but he has walked in it. Amen? So, a disciple is a follower. A disciple is a follower. And the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I love that. Where I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. But follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? That's very important. Follow me as I follow Christ. Look at this again. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my principles, my manner of life. In other words, he patterned the apostle's life. I mean, that's heavy stuff, you know. That's heavy stuff. Amen. A disciple is to pattern the life of the discipler. But there's a condition. Follow them as they follow Christ. Amen. Follow them as they follow Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, persecutions. Do you know that in your job you can face persecution? Do you know that people know that you're a Christian? Especially females. We have to pray for the females, you know, men. Because you have some boss out there, you know, for the female to get a promotion, they you know, require certain favors. And when the female said no, there is persecution. You know, unfortunately, we still live in a world that is very male dominant in a bad way, in an evil way, where people try to manipulate females, you know, and take advantage of them to get sexual and other forms of gratification. But as a Christian, you have to stand. You have to stand for Jesus. You have to stand and say, regardless of what happens, I am not bowing to Baal. Amen? You have to stand for Jesus and believe that Jesus will get you through. Jesus will help you. Amen? He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. In other words, Timothy has thought carefully about everything that Paul teached and preached. He examined it. He was critical of it in terms of, you know, checking to see if there were any errors. He carefully examined it to make sure that what he's saying is true. And he says, and out of them all, I love that. He said, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. That's very important. It's important not only to say that you will have persecutions as a Christian, but it's important to know that the Lord will deliver you out of them all. Are you with me? Amen? But the word, when it says endure hardship, it means that sometime you have to go through for some time. You don't know how long. Amen? Sister Susan is Dean of Discipline at Dunoon, and she showed it me on Wednesday night that a parent prevented a parent child, sent them home. Where you send them to? Huh? Blue room? Yes. Very interesting. This is a case in point.
Yeah, we send them to the blue room once they don't take their IDs. And so we would not, because they're late, the blue room, no ID. So the whole idea is that eventually I'll call the parents and tell them pick up or we're sending them home, which I did at the end of school, which was 2:20. So I did call that parent. She was quite upset. You didn't let my son go to class. I said, no, ma'am. Remember, this is what happens. Also in the blue room, we have a restroom for them and we allow them to go purchase lunch and they stay in. So she was quite angry. The next morning, which was Wednesday morning, I noticed, as I was checking in the students, I noticed that this parent, she was close proximity to me, like about here. So I said to her, good morning, ma'am, just give me a second. So I went to speak with another child, and in returning, she was already in my face with her finger pointing. Why didn't you send my son to class? I quickly said to her, miss, please do not put your finger in my face like that. By the time I could, she did it a second time for me to respond. She draped me, calling me up, and then I just had my hand down. I didn't do anything. I was smiling. And then she went ahead and started again. She choked me and pushed me in the wall. I didn't do anything. And she continued to hurl her insults, and the security immediately, because they didn't even realize what was happening. And children were there and carrying on, and same time that the security came and removed her hand, and she was a thumping in your mouth, and she just, and then they took her on the outside. She decided that she's going to call the police. The police didn't come.
Amen. So, thank God for how she reacted. Amen. I don't know if I would have done that. Praise the Lord. But she did well. She was a Christian at that moment. Praise God. Amen. She acted just like how Kelly would have acted. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says here, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Amen. So he was giving him three examples from real life as to how we should live his life as a Christian. And the first one was that no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now if you notice, who did the enlistment? Right? God is the one who enlists us. You don't have no choice. You have a choice, but it's not really a choice, a good choice. But God is the one who enlists us. And he has the rules. He lays down the rules as to how we should operate. And just as a soldier, you know, soldiers, when they come on duty, they're not supposed to mix up in civilian life, you know. Not like some of our soldiers and our police, who have women in every community where them go, and them have children in every community that them go, and they're mixed up in the civilian life, and they are, as a result, they are ineffective. Nobody have any respect for them, and them can't open their mouth and say anything, or them report them. They have things to report them about. Amen. So he's saying to Timothy, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, don't become entangled with the affairs of this life. Amen? Because it undermines your integrity and your authority. Amen? Praise God. And then he gives another example. He says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And as we saw recently, you know, one of the athletes on the 4x400 relay team, 4x100 team, that Bolt was on, they tested him way down the road and found that he tested positive for a drug, a banned drug, and as a result they have lost the gold medals. Why? Because they did not compete according to the rules. Amen? According to the rules. So God has his rules. He's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And in that case with our athletes, they were crowned, but the crowns were taken back. Amen? But God don't need any drug testing machine to test us. God knows our hearts, and God sees everything that we are doing. God knows everything about us. Amen? Praise God. And then thirdly, he says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. In other words, what he's saying to Timothy is, Timothy, if you work hard for God, God will reward you. That's what he's saying. If you work hard for God, God will reward you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And then, he begins to encourage him about scripture, the reading of scripture. Says, and that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. I don't know how many children are in here, but look at that. Timothy, from he was a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. He was familiar with the Scriptures. How many adults in here are familiar with the Scriptures? How many of us in here would qualify for the Apostle Paul to look at us and say, you have known the Holy Scriptures from you were a child, or even since you have become a Christian? Amen? You know what is implied here? God expects each of us to know the Holy Scriptures. Some of you think it's only pastor must know it. No. God wants everybody to know the Scriptures. You don't need to go to theological college. You just need to read your Bible. Amen? So, I don't know how many people here are on board with our Read the New Testament this year program. But if you are not on board, you need to get on board, because God expects you to know the Scriptures. And then he says, look at this. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Make you wise for what? Salvation, remember? We did it in one of the teachings. We looked at the fact that you are saved. You are justified by faith. You are saved there. And then it shows you another scripture where you are being saved. And then when Jesus comes, you are saved. So salvation is not a one-off thing. And what he's saying is that when you read the scriptures, when you know the scriptures, they will make you wise for salvation. They will help you to maintain your faith in God and be saved. So right now you are being saved. You are being saved. You are not saved yet. You are being saved. And then verse 16 says, all scripture. Because like then, like now, you have people who are saying that the scriptures are not of God. The Bible is not of God. People are saying that is man write the Bible. So Paul wanted Timothy to understand as a disciple that, he said, look what he says. All scripture. How much is that? Right? From back to front. Or from front to back. Amen? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, these men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I know? How do I, Pastor Muirhead, know that the scripture is of God? You know what I do? I read it and I test it. That's what I do. It says, and certain signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. And I pray for people and cast out devils. So to me, that proves that it is true. Amen. But we must test the scriptures. Test the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? A belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church. Amen? So one of the doctrines we believe is that Jesus Christ died, that he rose from the dead, that he ascended into heaven, and that he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Amen? Praise God. So we have doctrines, and you can get, if you want, you can get, you know, it's on the website, what we believe as a church. It's on the website. It's profitable for doctrine. So any doctrine that anybody come with, it must match what the scripture says. Amen? That's what he's saying to Timothy. It must match what the scripture says. For reproof, what is reproof? Expression of blame or disapproval. Somebody is behaving in a certain way, you express your disapproval or blame. There's a place for that. Amen? Praise God. For correction, for instruction in righteousness or right living, how to live right. That is why we need to read the Bible. Amen? And when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit helps us to live the Bible. It's not just sufficient to read the Bible, but you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to live the Bible. Or you can't do it in your own strength. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then, in verse 17 it says, when you know the Bible, you read the Bible, and you apply the Bible, it says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? Now, you know, for me to operate in the gift of word of knowledge and word of and healings, the gifts of healing, I have to hear from God. Right? By faith, I have to hear from God. But you know what I find, brethren? The more I read the Bible, is the clearer, or the more clearly I hear from God. Seriously. The more I read the Bible, is the more faith I have to pray for people. The more I read the Bible, is the more I have, more I know God and I understand about God. It's the more I am used by God. So that is why the Bible says that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete. You are incomplete if you don't read the word of God. You are incomplete if you don't study the word of God. We need to understand that. Fully equipped for every good work. I love that. I want to work for God. I'm saying, God, I want more work. I want more work. Well, specifically, I want more opportunities to preach and to teach. Amen? But I have to keep equipping myself. I have to keep equipping myself for every good work. Whether it comes from the north or the south or the east or the west, I want to be equipped for every good work. And let me tell you something. Doing God's work is greater than the work where you're doing for your money. Amen? Because one day, I'm going to say, all right, see the door there. But God's work will still be there. Amen? Praise God. When you get to the gates of heaven, then I want to say, what kind of work you used to do? Well, you know, I was a doctor or whatever. Do you know that the works that we do here, they go before us? Once, you know, I met a man from Montego Bay, and him say, boy, every day, you know, I send up a building block. That's how him describe it. Every day, him send up a building block. In other words, him do something for God. And every time him do something for God, it's like a building block go up for his little corner up there. But you know, the Bible does say that our works go before us. Amen? And that is why the Bible says, faith without works is dead. And work is not coming here and sitting down and listening to the sermon. Work is doing things for God. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.